Hey everybody, this is Tommy Castro, and this is Live at EXT.
One, two, three, four. Everybody's just looking for the same thing. Stand on our own two feet. I don't know much, but this I do believe. We gotta stand together on common ground. We ought to band together or we'll all fall down. Everybody's looking for someone. We're not as different as we are the same. Stand together on common ground. Everybody knows got to change things.
97.7 EXT. We're live at EXT with a real winner in our studio here. Our guest has won multiple blues music awards, including Entertainer of the Year and Band of the Year. He's also been known to play some Memphis soul-drenched R&B, and he's been playing it since the mid-90s. All true?
All true.
All yep, true. Yep. It's Tommy Castro and the Painkillers, everybody. Tommy, thank you so much for dropping on by.
Man, it's great to be here, guys. I mean, we haven't been to Albany I don't know, it might be 15 years, maybe more.
The Blues Festival you played last.
Yeah, we played a Blues Festival. I remember it was sponsored by a beer company, and I'll never forget it because one of my favorite bluesmen was on that show with us, Magic Slim, and the Teardrops were on that show. And somebody brought Magic Slim some beer, and he said, "Beer? I don't drink no beer." Beer makes you fat.
yeah, all true there too. Well, we're so glad to have you back here in the 518. One of those Blues Music Awards was the B.B. King Entertainer of the Year Award. You opened for the great B.B. He asked you, in fact, to open his summer concert tours back in 2001 and 2002, right?
Yeah, well, we got the call for the first tour, I guess it was 99, and then we're just really surprised to be asked back the following year, you know. And then the first year we did 30 shows, and the next year we did 60 shows with them, so which was basically the whole summer tour. So we did like 90 shows altogether, opening for BB and Buddy. I mean, these are two of my biggest heroes in life. You know, it was unbelievable for me to be on tour with those guys.
Was there any takeaway from playing with them? Did you learn something new?
Every day. Yeah, watching those guys was probably, some of the best schooling I ever got, really. I can't imagine I got any more from any other gigs in my lifetime. You know, the Blues Cruise is great because there's so many acts. You're traveling, around for a week with all the greats. But that BB tour, since BB and Buddy were two of my main influences, I really picked up a lot, not just musically, definitely some things about how the show is delivered. I watched BB, with people, he would, it was sponsored by some, I guess, a barbecue company. I can't remember the name of them. Lloyd's Barbecue. So the Lloyd's people would always have a long line of people that wanted to meet B.B. King on their guest list,
Right.
And B.B. was so gracious. He sat there like he could do it all night, just talking to one person at a time as they came up, signing things, posing for pictures, and the way he was with the people really stuck with me, and I try to live up to that myself. I think I always understood that I appreciate my audience, and I wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for them, and so I've always kind of naturally, was friendly and accessible to my audience at shows and stuff, but watching BB do it at his level, where he didn't really need to make friends anymore. He's already made his mark so many years ago. He could have just gone off and rested and said, "No, I don't do that."
So that's a great takeaway.
It just wasn't his nature. His nature was just very kind and generous, and
humility.
I took that away from it, especially. And with Buddy Guy, it was that big smile, man, on stage. He didn't have to play a note. He would just look at the crowd and grin, and they'd go nuts.
Yeah, he won everybody over with that. And Tommy, you started playing guitar at the age of 10. What ignited your passion to play rock and roll music?
Well, my older brother, he was 6 years older than me, and he got turned on to the blues. Rock and roll music by like the Stones and the Beatles and all of that British Invasion stuff, And eventually, he got in a little rock and roll cover band, and they would practice in our basement when I was a kid. And so I was just I was fascinated by it. They couldn't get rid of me. You know, they tried to get rid of me because I was a little kid. And, you know, they might have been up to something on some of those band practices, girls hanging out and stuff like that. Yeah. And I shouldn't have been there sometimes. But, you know, they'd have to chase me away to get rid of me. But the rest of the time, if they cranked up and they were practicing, I would be there. And so that's what got me started. And then the difference in our ages, you know, I started to play myself after a while, and then I found some friends my own age, you know, and we had a lot of music in common. And it was the 60s, right? In the middle 60s, and there was that's when I found out about the blues by way of guys like Michael Bloomfield and Elvin Bishop and, you know, Eric Clapton and the Rolling Stones. And, you know, eventually I traced it back, like most of us have done this, that guys my age, you know. We started out listening to rock and roll or rock blues, and then eventually we figured out where it came from. And then, you know, I had a steady diet of B.B. King and Buddy Guy and Ray Charles and on, you know.
Now, did you have any formal training playing guitar? Or is it just something you just picked up and just practiced?
Yeah, pretty much that was it. You know, yeah. You know, my family didn't have a lot of money when I was a kid, and I was lucky to have a guitar. So, yeah, music lessons were kind of out of the question. But I learned a little from my older brother. He showed me a few things. He'd say, "Hey, Tommy, look. Go out and wash my car, and I'll show you a new song."
And you happily did it.
Shine my Beatle boots, and I'll show you some chords, you know. And I learned a little bit that way. And then I just, like I said, I started hanging out with my friends, and I had a Mel Bay chord book. I listened to records. And I really wish that when I was a kid learning to play that we had some of the technology that there is now. I mean, there's so many cool things to help you learn on your own. You could go on YouTube and take lessons, learn just about any song that you want. Somebody will show you how to play it. You could get tabs on there. You could learn how to read tabs on there. You can. They have technology where you could slow things down and it doesn't change the pitch. I mean, wow. I remember taking my record player and trying to figure out licks, and they just went the speed that they went.
Yep.
So you could slow it down. If it was a 45, you could slow it down to 33 and kind of, but then it lowered the pitch. So
that's
you had
right.
to transpose it.
Yep.
And it was really difficult, you know, but I worked on it. I mean, I remember one of my, the biggest change or growth spurt that happened to me when I was a kid was I heard, you know, the Woodstock album came out, and for some reason my favorite track was Going Home by 10 Years After.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And so I learned, I sat and I with the record player until I learned that whole song note for note. It took me, you know, it took months, you know, for me to figure it all out, but I was determined. So it increased my playing skills quite a bit, just learning that one song, you know.
Yeah.
But today, I still don't know that much about music in a more formal education sort of way. I kind of learned like the old guys did, listening to records, picking things up from my friends. And
you've never stopped learning.
I took a few lessons here and there, but I had already started learning how to play my way. It's hard to add the correct way of doing things to your old backyard blues style of playing. It's hard to make that transition. So I still work on it all the time.
Yeah, it's always practice. Tommy Castro and the Painkillers, our guests live at EXT. And you insert an awful lot of personality into this next song. You're going to take us into this great one here. Take it away.
All right, everybody. So our band started out in San Francisco, California in the early 90s, man. And we had a lot of gigs back then. There was a blues joint every couple of blocks in those days. And all those joints were packed with people going out digging the blues. It was a good time for us. We had a lot of gigs. It gave us a chance to work on songs, eventually get a record out and get out on the road. But man, we sure had a good time right there in the neighborhood. Our favorite neighborhood, North Beach. Famous for beat poets, writers, artists, musicians, and every kind of drunken maniac you could imagine. And I always imagined that there were still spirits of some of those characters still hanging around in North Beach. intentions when I started out. There's no going back, I've got to ride this out. I'm with spirits of madmen and ravens of the night. I know I'm doing wrong, but it feels so right. Ride. 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 Everybody ride. The ghosts of pimps and hustlers in long Cadillacs, geniuses and maniacs and Jack Kerouacs, they reach out to me from the other side. Possessed my body, ruled my mind. Ride. 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 Everybody ride. Emerson on keyboard. Look here. I used to drive a 1964 Ford Thunderbird in those days. Now, I remember the cool thing about that car is the trunk on that car was the exact same size as my 65 Super Reverb amplifier. I always thought that was cool. I pull up to the corner and pop the trunk. Guitar and I smell the funk. Woo. It's coming off of Grand Street down the alley. And I hear somebody singing Mustang Sally. That's right. Somebody's playing that song again, everybody. Ride. Ride. Ride, everybody ride. Now Johnny Ace is nailed in sharkskin brown. He's in another dimension and really throwing down. Nitro's tone, he's cutting like a knife. Got one eye on the clock and the other on your wife. Ride. Ride, everybody ride. Ride, have mercy. Everybody ride.
97.7 EXT. We're live at EXT with Tommy Castro and the Painkillers. There's a crowd favorite right there. A song called Ride. Wow. That's a great one, right? Now, I want to ask you, in a career spanning four decades, your backing band, the Painkillers, relatively new component forming in 2012. Where'd the name Painkillers come from, and what's different from this band than all the others you were in?
Okay, Painkillers, that's a good question. I was signing autographs one night and after the show, and a woman and her husband came up, and I'd seen them before at our shows in the Pacific Northwest, and she goes, I just have to tell you this, you know, I love your music, but I want to let you know that, you know, your music is a painkiller. I have chronic pain, and one of the worst things for me is to have to sit in a car when we go places. It's, you know, it's painful. So I always ask my husband to put your CDs on in the car when we're driving because it makes me feel better. And I went, wow.
Wow, you know, what a great compliment.
The coolest thing I ever heard, you know. And so long story short, you know, we did have an album called Painkiller as a result of that. And when we looked to name the band, I decided back in 2012 that I needed a change. I felt like I was in a little bit of a rut. It was a pretty good rut. You know, I had a great band at the time. It was more of an R&B sounding group with horns, and that was a great group. You know, I really enjoyed it. We made a lot of good records together, and then I felt like it was time to do something different. My original bass player and, you know, a guy that's been helping me run this band for so many years, Randy McDonald, had been gone for a few years because his wife was ill, and he just couldn't be on the road anymore. So we had another really fine player took his place, Scott Sutherland. Scott was great, but when Randy was ready to come back, you know, I thought, yeah, you know, I really need your help, man, because he's also our band's road manager. He helps me, arrange the music. He helps me write some of the songs, and him and I really work together on keeping this thing on the road. And so when he came back, I said, let's put our heads together and see if we could come up with some fresh new direction for the music. And we came up with the Painkillers idea and a little bit more of a guitar driven sound is what we were going for.
Yeah.
And so we put out the Devil You Know, which was kind of a little bit more of a heavy-handed, more edgy modern blues record. A lot of good tracks on there. We got a lot of good response by some people, and some people were like, wow, we kind of missed the old sound. And so when we made this new album, Method of My Madness, I kind of wanted to compromise a little bit between those two worlds, you know, the old R&B blues sound of the Tommy Castro band and some of this more modern approach that I was going for. So this latest album is some people's favorite because it sounds a lot more like the original band, but it's still fresh.
Yeah, it's a killer album. It really is a great album. Tommy Castro and the Painkillers, Method to My Madness, the latest release out now on Alligator Records. Tommy, I want to ask you also, what keeps inspiring you? Are there any new bands here today that's out there in the music scene that you look up to now and you can see they've got a future? They are carrying on the torch of rock and roll and blues and soul.
Zericus Singleton, also one of my label mates on Alligator Records, and I'm a big fan of Samantha Fish, Mike Zito. I like, of course, the Royal Southern Brotherhood. Those guys are great. And there's some other new acts out there. It's a guy that we're going to be doing. We're going to be backing him up on the Blues Cruise, who's just like a blast from the past. Such a powerful performer and singer, Sugar Ray Rayford. He's kind of new on the scene, but he's been around a little while. He's already pretty big in Europe, he's got some really good music. You know, a lot of people could play, and a lot of people could sing. I mean, there's no shortage of guitar players out there. Singers, maybe not as many. They're not as you know, plentiful out there, that people who could really sing. But singing and playing is only part of the equation. You know, you got to have good songs. You got to have material that is original, you know, has something.
And you got to have feel. You got to have, you got to feel the music through you. You know, your instrument is just an extension of yourself, but, you know, it's all empty without that feel inside you, right, when you play.
So you got to have original material or good songs that you could deliver with conviction, like you're saying. You got to be able to feel it. You got to believe what you're saying, you know. There's a lot of good new talent out there. If I had time to think, I'm a... You put me on the spot, I'll walk out of the room and go, oh man, I forgot to mention so-and-so, you know. So there's a bunch of acts out there that we really like that are fresh and new. And you always got to go see the North Mississippi All-Stars. Those guys are pretty incredible.
Yeah, certainly are.
I could go on, but... you know, you have only so much time.
TommyCastro.com is the website. Method to My Madness is the latest release. Tommy, thanks so much for dropping by and playing some amazing songs for us here today. You're just leaving us in sweat here with some great songs. Oh, man. The best of luck to you and continued success in the future, my friend.
Well, thank you very much.
You want to take us out with one other great one here. It's going to get everybody up on their feet here. It's called You Got a Lot. What can you tell us about this one?
Well, for years, you know, I got a lot of good friends in this business, and every time we see each other, we always go, hey, we should do something together. We should do some shows together, or we should write a song together. We should make a record together, you know, but it hardly ever happens. It's hard to get people with different busy schedules together, and one of these guys that I really admire a lot, really love his music, is Tab Benoit, and we've been friends for a long time, and finally... We decided to do some shows together, and it was me joining his band for a handful of dates, and it was a blast. And I always learned something from everybody. Anyway, I came back. I was working on songs for this new record. I had a little refrain in my head, and then after hanging out with those guys, it came out as a, you know, pretty much I would have to say a tribute to Tab and his group. So there you go. You'll hear it. If you're a fan of Tabs, you'll get it right away, I think.
All right, Tommy Castro, thanks so much. Here's You Got a Lot, 97.7 EXT.
All right, everybody, get up and dance.
Off the chart. You got a lot, you got a lot. You got a lot, you got a lot. You got a lot, you got a lot. Of what I want. You got a lot of talent, and it's hard to find. You got a lot of cool stuff on your mind. You got a lot of objects of my desire. When it comes to love, baby, you on fire. You got a lot, you got a lot. You got a lot, you got a lot. You got a lot, you got a lot. What I want. Some people got money. Some people got friends. Some people got luck. Until it ends, there ain't nothing I want that I ain't
I'm Tommy Castro. This is listener-supported 97.7 EXT. Support the music at exit97.7.org.